Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
All right, guys, so the biracial bat signal went out because Cut put out a video where they brought together mixed kids and their parents to play a game of truth or drink. And as a biracial individual myself, I figured this is a good video to react to. So let's get into it. Yeah, you better. Yeah, you better. All right, guys, so as you know, I am biracial. I'm half white, half black. That comes, I guess, with its own territory, somewhat of culture and stereotypes and all these different things. And these are discussions we're going to have as we get into today's video from Cut, titled, Does My Dad Only Date Black Women, Truth or Drink? So let's just get straight into it. Let's not waste any time.
Do you fetishize black people?
What?
Do you fetishize black people?
Let me read the question.
You can also say it says no. Fetish.
No, because
Homeboy was sweating. Do I fetishize black people? Okay. Hi.
How you doing?
Hi.
Who are you two and how do you know each other?
I'm Isaiah. This is my dad.
Damien is my name.
I'm Aaliyah.
Her birth father.
Why are you saying it so weird?
This is my mother. So I will spit out of her vagina.
Valid. What is your ethnicity?
African, American, and Caucasian.
I am black and white.
My dad is Indian and my mom is black.
My mother is white, mixed European descent, and my father is Filipino, Asian descent.
Do we want to start with a shot?
Okay. I'll start with a shot.
I guess I should participate. Not in the drinking. I'm just going to answer that my dad is Nigerian and my mother is mixed European. She got a whole ton of different regions going on over there.
I actually don't drink, so I'm planning on telling the truth every time.
Oh, okay.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Cheers to being black and liking black men, I guess.
Valid again.
Okay. What are some mixed kid stereotypes?
Like mixed kids almost feel like they're better than everybody?
Sometimes we can be looked at as soft.
Okay, so they said better than everybody and soft. I'm trying to think of some other ones. I don't know that I have heard those two stereotypes. The ones that I hear most often are specifically with the races of my background is too white for the black kids and too black for the white kids. And I don't know that that's necessarily true. I grew up in a predominantly white area and I felt generally accepted, although I could tell that I was different, at least in the way that I looked. So there was that going on. We also get, if you're in an interracial relationship, that, oh, your mixed babies are gonna be so cute. Or people say, I want mixed babies because they're so beautiful. So that's another stereotype that, again, I don't know whether or not that's true. I just think people are interested in seeing a mix of two different races and the sort of way that those things can turn out. And you don't know exactly what the kid is going to look like. And we get a little caramelly skin tone. So people like to comment on that. Those would be the two stereotypes that I would say I hear most often.
Too white for the black kids, too black for the white.
There you just already got it.
Identity crisis.
Right.
That we're whitewashed, but you're not even white, so that doesn't even really apply in that sense, but I've gotten that before.
Like mixed folks are really beautiful. Yeah. I did hear that a lot when you guys were kids too. Oh, best of both worlds.
Yeah, and she's right when she says you get accused of being whitewashed a lot. I can't tell you how many times I've been told that I act white, but you know, I'm half of my family is white, so I guess to some extent that's true. Although I don't know what acting white means, and y'all know I have problems with people who say that and the reasons behind why they say that, but I've definitely been accused of being whitewashed and acting white. And I'm curious, have any of you gotten a similar accusation? Drop it in the comments down below. And how do you respond to that?
Tell me the most racist thing you've ever done or take a shot.
It's racist that I threaten you guys that you're
not white. What?
Wait, what?
I mean, the fact that I'm like, you're lucky you're not a white kid running around here right now. You know, I could have been dating a white guy instead of a black guy. They be trying to clown me all the time. Oh, white, you're white, mom. Like, you could be white too. So, like, be grateful.
I'm trying to think, what's the most racist thing I've ever done? Apparently it's like racist now to mimic people's accents and stuff, and people have gotten in trouble for that. So I guess I've definitely done that. I still do accents on this show to this day. So I guess that would be the most racist thing I've ever done. I don't know that I've ever like, I do know actually, I've never attacked somebody or demeaned somebody because of their race or background. So nothing to that extent. I guess that would be my biggest offense. I'm sure many people would accuse me of being a white supremacist and committing acts of microaggressions. So maybe it's better that the leftists who dislike me answer that question and tell me what the most racist thing is that I've ever done.
Slept with Jim over there, okay? Jim instead of Tyrone, my bad, okay?
Tell me the most racist thing you've ever done, or take a shot.
God, I don't know. Can I pass, or is pass not an option?
No, you take a sip.
You gotta drink.
I'll drink up.
Oh, I remember one time when we went to a restaurant, and I called ahead to make sure they would take my credit card. And we got there and we ate, and I went to pay with the credit card, and the Chinese lady at the cashier said, "Oh, we don't take a credit card." And I said, "Well, I don't have cash on me." And she says, "You go to the bank, you go to the bank." And I started talking about her like that. "You go to the bank, you go to the bank." And I said, "No, it's not okay." And she's like, "Yes, yes, yes." And I was portraying it to people when I got home, how irritated I was with her. And I was speaking about her in that ridiculous accent. She didn't sound like that. I was making her sound like that. And I think it was one of you girls who pointed out to me how racist that was. And I was so ashamed because I didn't even think of it as being racist.
So,
yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world. I guess when she said that the lady didn't really have the accent and she was sort of portraying her in that light, that's when it steps a bit over whatever the subjective line that people have for being racist is. But it's not the worst thing in the world. And she even says, "I felt so bad after having done that," when in my everyday life, I would feel like that's the most sort of innocuous thing. I don't know that I'd be particularly perturbed by somebody doing something like that. But I could see where one could be offended by something of that nature.
Do you feel comfortable saying the N-word? Why or why not?
I do. Yeah. I grew up saying it with some of my friends, and we say it to each other more of an endearing terms.
Sure. Be like me calling one of my friends dude? It's
very similar.
Similar
yeah.
to that?
Yeah, yeah.
I do feel comfortable saying the N-word because I'm black. You know, I don't identify as half white or mixed race or biracial. I've just always identified as black. Even still, it's not something that I say very flippantly.
Interesting. So I wonder if she said, "I am mixed race, I am biracial," could you then be able to say the N-word, or does that sort of dilute your power when it comes to being able to utilize that word? I definitely use the N-word when I'm listening to music, and you know, I listen to a lot of hip-hop, I listen to a lot of rap music. I would never use it in regular conversation and never use it to refer to somebody, even on like the friendly basis that people use that word. It doesn't feel particularly comfortable. It doesn't feel particularly necessary. But y'all know that I never get overly sensitive about the use of the N-word. And there's so many different ways in which it's used today that I think for the most part are fine. I've not really in my life, or all that often in my life, heard somebody use the N-word, hard R, in a derogatory manner, other than like on the internet where people are trolling and trying to get a rise out of other people.
Do you feel comfortable saying the N-word?
I don't think I've ever said it, like, really ever.
Do you feel uncomfortable saying it, though? Like, if you said it right now?
I don't really want to.
I feel uncomfortable.
I always see that as a more of a derogatory term.
It is a derogatory
that people
term.
Use.
Yeah.
So, to me, is that appropriate in the family or outside?
No, I disagree with you on that.
Okay.
I think that if you are black, you are allowed to say it.
Okay, whatever.
But, you know, that's where we...
A lot of people feel that way.
Does it ever bother you when I embrace my other race and culture more than yours?
No, not at all, actually. I love it. I've actually really enjoyed watching that development over the last 10 to 15 years. It's been actually really cool. For example, I haven't seen him for a while, for a couple months. I notice...
What? Oh, the two gyms?
Your tooth. Yeah. Yeah. Just noticed it maybe 15 minutes ago. And I was thinking, man, that is really cool. I love it.
Yeah. Does it...
His dad is just so sweet. Oh, my gosh. Can we get a quick round of applause for that dad? He is just so adorable. He's so very adorable. It's an interesting question. Would you get upset if I embraced one culture more than the other? And this is something that I grappled with more in youth than I do now, because there was always this idea that if you are Black in any way, shape, or form to any degree, a lot of people just identify with that Blackness, even though they may be biracial, even though they may be quarter Black. A lot of people just say, oh, I'm Black. Like that young woman just said, she said, I identify more with, you know, my Blackness. And that's really always been the case for her. But I recognized later on in life that, you know, I guess there can be things that you identify with more in regard to your race and your culture. But the reality is that you're mixed race. The reality is that, your biological makeup is of two different races or two or more races, depending on who you are. And you can portray yourself as something or say that you are Black. But in reality, you are a mix of the parents that created you. And back in the day, you know, you used to be told if you're going to apply for a job or a scholarship, just mark Black because that's going to have you get better chances. You're going to be better off. You probably already identify with your Blackness more than the other side. And I think that's just a narrative that's pushed onto people. And in reality, you are what you are, which is a mixed race individual. And just a question in regard to the N-word, at what point are you no longer allowed to say it? What if you're a quarter Black or an eighth Black or 1/16? At what point is the cutoff for you no longer being able to utilize the N-word? Y'all let me know. Or does it not even matter? As long as you have a little bit of Black in you, you're able to use that word. Let me know in the comments down below.
Ever bother you when I embrace my other race and culture more than yours?
No, because I've never seen that happen. But if it did, it wouldn't bother me.
That's an interesting question.
I think it does, because you always will say, like, when I'm like, oh, I'm Black, you're like, no, you're Black and Indian. Like, you're very much like...
Yeah, so to be honest, yeah, it does bother me, but not in a way that you think it bothers me, because I accept it. But I wish you would embrace the other side a little bit more, too.
See, this is so interesting, because I feel like between the two biological children that you have, I am the only one that is more, like, inclined to be like, hey, Dad, share this about, like, your culture with me. I feel like you should take a shot for that one.
All right, good Lord.
Because you, like, threw me under the bus.
Are you getting uncomfortable, Amit?
No, not uncomfortable.
He's been uncomfortable from the jump saying, I am her birth father. But no, what he said there was really valid. And you have to think about that, I think, when you're a kid who's sort of writing off one side of your race. Not to accuse her of doing that, because I don't know the inner dynamics of their relationship. But that's an entire parent with an entire background and ancestry and culture that they would have hoped, I think, to bestow upon you. And because you're half Black, to simply write off the other half of yourself, or whatever iteration in which you are doing that and writing off the other race, it's not the nicest thing to do to the parent who's presumably taken care of you and played an equal and opposite part in your life and in your upbringing. So it is something to think about, to just deny that half of yourself or that third of yourself or fourth in attempt to identify as something or portray yourself as a certain thing, when in reality, what you are is a mixed race person. I can't help but to continue going back to that point, because we're sort of feeding people this idea that they can just create their own identity, you know, regardless of what the facts are, when there are real facts in these situations.
Do you fetishize Black people?
What?
Do you fetishize Black people?
Fetish as in like, So I would definitely not say fetish, because fetish, I take that word to be kind of like an obsession, like not, but I definitely, I definitely have always,
let me read this.
You can also say no.
Fetish.
No, because okay, so fetish, no. If I got to answer the question directly, no. I don't fetish fetishize black people.
I think he's trying to find a way to say that, yes, I really admire black women and I'm attracted to black women, but I'm not like obsessively weird, and it's not like some sexually fetishizing thing or tendency that I have towards black women. And he's struggling to be able to find that word. So he can't completely write off the question, but he can't exactly answer it. And it's creating this moment. You can tell this guy is just so genuine and wholesome.
Do you think they look good though?
But yeah, so can I elaborate a little bit?
Yes. Okay.
I will admit this, I definitely have, you know, a preference, I think would be the word.
There's the word.
For African-American ladies.
For sure, dude.
If that makes sense. But not a fetish. It's not a fetish thing. It's.
I got that for that, too.
But definitely, okay. Yeah.
I love that.
I definitely have a preference for African-American ladies.
Now, I just did the racist thing that other lady did, which is I, you know, put on a bigger accent than what this guy actually has. Call the police. Call the police. We got a racist on our hands.
But definitely a preference. So anyway, that's my long answer to that, exactly. That question.
Okay. What's the whitest thing I do?
There's so many.
Yeah. I mean, you exist. You're really pale, Ma.
I think the whitest thing about you is like your obscene love for glitter and like all things sparkly.
What's the whitest thing I do?
Dancing. Yeah, dancing.
Fair enough.
It doesn't look bad if he keeps it simple.
That's so funny. I have to think about this. What's the whitest thing that my mother does? It's probably just her music taste. She listens to like Ani DeFranco and Nine Inch Nails. I guess those are particularly white bands to listen to if we're gonna look at like the demographics of their fans, but I don't know what else I would say is particularly white. My mom can dance, so I wouldn't have to worry about that. I know they say typically white people can't dance, and I guess that would be a white thing to not be able to dance, but my mom can dance. So I guess that's a point towards her blackness.
Right, I've learned my lesson.
It doesn't get too
crazy.
Yeah, just
play it safe, keep it simple.
Name 5 black movies in 20 seconds. If you can't, you can take a shot.
5 black movies?
Yeah. Oh, okay. 5 black movies in 20 seconds. Okay, we just rely on Tyler Perry. Why did I get married? Why did I get married too? Medea goes to jail. What other black movies are there? Get Out. That's a black movie. What was the other one that Jordan Peele made? Am I going over 20 seconds at this moment? Friday. Oh my gosh. Diary of a Mad Black Woman. Is that what it's taught? What it's called? This is actually really difficult. I'm breaking under pressure. More are gonna come to me as these people answer, but at least I think I did get 5. I did get 5 black movies.
Undercover Brother.
I used to watch Undercover Brother, and if you have not watched Undercover Brother, just cut this show right now and go watch that movie. But I watched that so many times as a child. Probably shouldn't have been watching that as a child. And my mom introduced me to that one. The white parent introduced me to Undercover Brother. But that's my movie recommendation out of all those black movies that I just listed. We'll see what they have to say.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Good Lord.
Name a Tyler Perry film.
Yeah, Tyler.
Always, if anybody asks you about black movies, default, go to Tyler Perry.
Medea.
Medea, whatever, yeah.
There's one. I am nuts at a damn DEA.
Which one? Which Medea?
Medea goes to wherever.
Wherever she goes.
That's pretty accurate.
Name 5 black movies in 20 seconds. If you can't, you have to take a shot.
The Mac, Car Wash, Friday.
10 seconds.
Foxy Brown. Yes.
Foxy Brown.
One more, you got this.
Okay.
The Help, Medea's Family Reunion, Get Out, what else we got?
She was slamming.
Friday, Coming to America.
Coming to America, that's a good one. You know what else is another good one that, you know, people might not say is a black movie, but it's a black movie. I don't care what anybody says. Shark Tale. Shark Tale is a black movie. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Go, Mom! Yeah!
Can I throw one in, even though I'm way past the time limit?
Throw it in.
Menace to Society.
That's a classic.
I've never seen that.
Okay.
All right, I just need a little bit of time. I just need...
If you couldn't name, like, 2?
Yeah.
You don't want to name the obvious ones, too, because I feel like some of them could be, like, offensive. Like, if you can't say, like, 12 Years a Slave. it is a black movie, but it is a black movie. Dreamgirls, that's a good one. The Color Purple, Roots. See, you don't want to go to like the black oppression films. You want to go to like the black funny films or the black dramas. You want to aim a little higher than the oppression films because you can rattle off the oppression ones, but I don't know that would people would be too excited about that.
What's one question you have about my ethnicity that you've been afraid to ask?
One time when you were really little, you said something about hating the color of your skin, and you're actually trying to take your skin off. Mm. Do you feel better about that now?
Well, now I do. I think, like, growing up, I had a lot of, like, internalized inferiority. I wanted to be white. I dyed my hair red. I bought, like, green and blue contacts. I did hate the color of my skin.
What's one question you have about my ethnicity that you've been afraid to ask?
So what's your experience like dating as a black woman?
Sometimes I would feel like I'm not like black enough to date like black guys because I don't come across in the way that they would usually typically go for.
What were your fears around raising a biracial kid?
Okay, I want to answer that one real quick. There were some questions they wanted to ask, and she asked, you know, do you still feel insecure about your race and things like that? I can identify with that to a certain extent, not because I ever experienced racism because of the way that I looked, but because I grew up in a predominantly white area. So when you're a kid and you're hanging around people who don't necessarily look like you, you do have this want to sort of fit in. And for me, that was, oh my gosh, everybody has straight hair. I wish I had straight hair. So we went and I begged my mom, can we put relaxer in my hair? Can we put relaxer in my hair? Can I get straight hair? And so many people said, no, do not ruin your natural curly hair. It's beautiful. And of course, as a kid, you don't really understand that people are, you know, intrigued by your hair or interested by it. You view it as something that is racist or that sets you apart or that makes you different. And you know what? I fought too damn hard and ended up getting my hair relaxed. And did I regret it? I did regret it. Because then I had to shave my head to get my curly hair back. And that was a journey. So learn from me. If you're a young person watching right now and you're surrounded by people with straight hair and you have curly hair or anything that you want to change about yourself because you don't feel like you fit in, keep what you have. It gives you charm. It makes you unique. And without any of those things, it doesn't have to give you charm. It doesn't have to make you unique. It doesn't have to make you, you know, beautiful, whatever. It is who you are. And it's just the way that you were made and it's what you were given. So just rock what you were given and don't make yourself feel inferior because of what's around you.
I definitely have had a fear of, and I hope this is okay to say, I've had fears that you would be targeted by law enforcement or, you know, even just targeted, period. Not even by law enforcement, just by anybody wanting to mess with you.
So definitely one of my fears as well.
Yours as well? You've had a fear? Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Coming to a couple of close situations like that that you know of.
What were your fears around?
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I could see with the media that we consume and what we see on the news how somebody would have that fear. I would argue that it's not all that likely if he's a law-abiding citizen who, you know, just follows what is asked of him when it comes to encounters with law enforcement. But he states he's had a few close calls, so I'd be interested to hear more about that. But it doesn't seem like we're going to get into that. He should be more worried about the ladies. That's a handsome young man you've created. A handsome young man. Let me stop.
I'm raising a biracial kid. The fact that they would not know who they were, whether they were of the black ethnicity or the white ethnicity, then they wouldn't fit in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a good one. Can you recall a time when you struggled with your identity and you were afraid to talk to me about it?
I would say more in like elementary and middle school ages. I was definitely had some identity crisis, especially because that was kind of the period of life where I was away from my mom quite a bit. And I still had friends that were African American, but I felt like sometimes I would get made fun of a little bit from them because, you know, I still live with my white dad, blah, blah, blah.
My mom always brings it up when I was like younger and I came home and I was just like, Mom, why don't I look like the other girls? Like, why don't I look like normal? And I think she said she went into her room and like cried about it because she felt so bad that I had to even like ask. But I was just like, why isn't my hair straight? Like why do I look different?
You know, growing up, it was hard trying to figure out where I fit. And it would be kind of jarring to meet black kids who would be like, oh, you're not black. Or the first time I went to visit my family in Ohio, the black side of my family, they're like, oh, you act white. And I'm like, damn, that's crazy. Like, I'm just me, you know?
That is a really interesting thing to have to deal with, especially from in your youth, because you don't have the tools to interpret what's being said. You don't have the wisdom to understand your place in the world and understand the fact that other people's opinions might not exactly be correct. You're just getting the opinion and taking that internally and having to process it through your little kid brain. And it's a really difficult thing to go through. I don't know that I struggled deeply with my identity as a kid. And I'd have to ask my mom whether or not I ever came to her with any concerns about the way I looked, other than my hair and wanting it to be straight. That's the only thing that I can really think of. But I can definitely recall that at my school, black kids sort of congregated together and white kids sort of congregated together. And of course, there was a little bit of mixing here and there. And as you get older, that becomes, you know, more prevalent and all that. But I would have a group of black friends that I would hang out with. And then I had a group of white friends that I would hang out with. And there would be some mixing, but not too much. And there was just that split that existed. And interestingly enough, by both sides of the spectrum, I was referred to as like Oreo, 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 Oreo. Because, you know, you have your white parent and your black parent. But I don't really think that brought about any crisis within me. And if anything, I thought that was an endearing thing, I guess, to be referred to as an Oreo. And I had, you know, one friend group and I had the other friend group and I was chilling. But, you know, you get removed from your childhood. So I can't exactly tell you how I was feeling or what I thought or felt at the time of experiencing those things. But nothing really stands out. I'm curious to all the other biracial or mixed race people who are listening right now. Did you experience an identity crisis in childhood and what brought that about? Drop it down below.
You know, but at the same time, playing on sports teams that were mostly white, feeling like I stood out so much because I was half black.
Can you recall a time when you struggled with your identity and you were afraid to talk to me about it?
Yeah, so you were working a lot and you were raising Renita and I on your own. I think there were a lot of things we just didn't want to burden you with. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I ever told you about like the neighbor kids like throwing rocks at me and Renita, but like we weren't feeling very like welcomed or appreciated in that neighborhood either. Mm-hmm. So
I don't remember you telling me about that. That makes me sad that, because obviously I was overwhelmed a lot of the time, but it makes me sad that you guys didn't talk to me about things.
Oh man, that's hard. That's so difficult. Wow. Almost got me there. That's so sad. I think it's an unintentional, you know, side effect of single parenthood is that, I mean, just by virtue of being a single parent, you're going to be overwhelmed, especially when you have multiple kids that you're trying to take care of at one time and you're working and trying to keep a household together and make sure that they're taken care of and fed and, you know, clothed and they have to go to school and all these different things. And where you feel overwhelmed in all the different things that you now have to juggle, where two people would have been juggling that before, your children can absorb the fact that you're overwhelmed. And that causes a dynamic where they have to grow up a little sooner because they're recognizing the burden that's been placed on you and thinking, oh, you know, I don't want to add to that. I know mom's going through so much, or I know dad's going through so much right now. So they carry with them burdens that they should not have to carry and that should be bestowed upon a parent for a little bit of wisdom and guidance. And then they end up maturing a little bit faster or being forced to mature a little bit faster. And it's just, you know, unfortunately what happens. And that's not the case with all single parent and, you know, child relationships, but it is for a lot of them. We forget how much children absorb, and it can be small things like little altercations in the neighborhood with other kids that they no longer come to you with because they just know you have so much going on, and it's a tough thing to avoid, unfortunately. So it's so sad as a parent to hear this later on, I imagine.
Last card. Tell me about a time when you've felt most loved by me.
After my last senior football high school game.
Oh, man.
Me and you in the parking lot for I don't even know how long it was, maybe 10 minutes, embracing each other. I was crying because of my last football
game. That's so sweet.
That was kind of like you sending me off in a way.
Oh, my gosh.
The one thing that really stands out to me is how you always supported me. The way you would show up for me at games, the way you would make sure I got to games, the way you saw that I loved something and like really nurtured it. You know, it was always special to be able to know that if I looked up in the stands, you were going to be there 99% of the time. Yelling and embarrassing me.
Tell me about a time when you felt most loved by me.
I think when you like do things with me, like when we actually like are spending time together and we
like this.
Yeah, I guess like this.
He is so cute because you know it's just such a big thing for him to be on camera and to put himself out of his comfort zone a little bit. So he wants her to know that, like, this is a thing that I'm doing with you right now. That is so lovely. Oh my gosh, I love this video.
Ma, can you tell me about a time when you felt most loved by me?
When I had my heart attack and you came to the hospital and you were really firm with me and you almost made me feel guilty for having a heart attack. And I told Lisa and Alex, I said, I can't die because Caitlin will beat the shit out of me. Oh my God. And I knew that was because you loved me so much that you didn't want me to die. Mm-hmm. And I felt truly loved because you were letting me know that I better get my shit together and get healthy.
Yeah.
What would you say you felt most loved by me?
This is actually a fun one. I came home from work and you're out in the front yard doing a video with, like, I don't know, probably on Snapchat or something. And you saw me pull up, you're like, oh, hey, Dad, come here. And you had this, I don't know what the rap song.
Oh, we were recording.
It was a pretty cool rap song. And I started doing my old white man dance.
I remember that.
But, you know, I felt cool because you're like, Dad, you know, you're on camera. You know?
Yeah.
I felt really loved at that moment by, even though I made an idiot of myself.
I know exactly.
And he posted it on whatever social media platform it was. He posted it, and I did. I looked like an idiot. But what I felt loved by you in that moment is that you accepted me to be a part of your video.
Yeah.
And you weren't ashamed of your goofy looking dad.
I got a bunch of comments on that.
I can just imagine that you did, yeah.
So do you think we should talk?
Guys, this is so nice. That is so adorable and sweet and lovely and wholesome. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Guys, if you're listening right now and your parents are, you know, within a phone call's reach or just even within reach, Leo shows your parents some love. That is so sweet. He felt appreciated and loved by being placed in his little YouTube video doing his little dad dance.
Talk about race more.
I think Wally should be more active, more involved, and so we can be more aware and then do the right thing.
Solid.
I'll drink to that. Cranberry juice.
Cheers to you, Whitey. See what I get? This is real life shit.
Wow, that was a 10 out of 10 video. Wow, fantastic. Guys, I enjoyed my time here. I need to go call my mom and tell her I love her and call my dad and tell him I love him. Just a quick little reminder to just throw some love at your parents and some appreciation and respect their way because they do remember these things. And I love that this video started out being about race and having mixed race kids and the interracial dynamics within the relationship and all these different things. And it just ended with sheer love. And that's it. And it transcends all. It transcends identity. It transcends sexuality and race and gender and all these different things. And it's so abundantly clear how much love these different pairs have for one another in their, you know, parent-child relationship. So 10 out of 10. Loved every second of it. Guys, drop your thoughts in the comments down below. As always, I encourage healthy debate. So if you disagree with anything that was said in this video, drop it in the comments down below. But do so respectfully. And if you like this video, like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time I post a video for you guys, which is every single day. And I will see you next time. Bye, guys. Yeah, you better. Yeah, you better.